Well, good morning, Believers Church. I am happy to tell you that this is our last Sunday solely online. We miss all of you. We can't wait to see you. If you're visiting with us and just checking us out online, it's an honor to have you here with us. We are just excited to be back next week. It's an honor that you would join us online, but it'll be a bigger honor when you get to come see us in person. Well, last week we told you the good news that June the 7th is our return date. And we're going to return to our in-person services. It's next Sunday, and here's what we're planning on doing. We plan to have everything up and running. We're going to take every precaution we can. We're going to have hand sanitizer available as you come into the buildings. The buildings will be cleaned and sanitized. We're going to prop open doors and do everything we can to make it safe for you. If you feel safer staying home, then please stay home. We want you to do what you feel comfortable with. We're going to be streaming live online, and then right after that, it'll be posted on demand so you can catch the service if you miss it that morning. If you're more comfortable, if you do come and you want to wear a mask, go ahead and wear a mask. You do what makes you feel comfortable so you can be at peace and enjoy your time of worship and enjoy your time with your church family. On our kids' building, the BC Kids building, we're going to be up and running. Nursery is 0 through kindergarten. We'll be up and running. And then the BC Kids Church, which is rising first graders through fifth grade, will be up and running. Here's what we're asking. For drop-off and pickup, when you go to sign your kids in, please only send one parent or one person in with the kids to do that. This just minimizes the number of kids in there. And it'll give our dream team over there a little less to worry about. So if you can send one person in to pick up and to drop off, that would be wonderful. Knowing that we are facing our last Sunday of online, Melanie and I were talking this week about some things we began to really realize that we learned during this 10 or 12 weeks of being not normal. And so we decided this week that we were going to just share from our heart and talk about these things together and just share our hearts with you today. So I've asked her to come, and she's going to start off as we just share our hearts with you today.
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say, for me, I am so excited to see all of your faces again soon. I was thinking about when our girls were little, the way that we would mark time until something fun was going to happen was we would count how many sleeps were left. So we have, starting tonight, 7 sleeps until we get to see one another again. So we are so excited about that. But like Clint said, you know, we were thinking about actually getting back to having service again. And as things are getting closer to how they used to be, you know, we thought about these past few months, it would be really sad if everything that we've gone through these past few months happened and we learned nothing from it, and no good came out of everything that we've had to go through. And if the time that we just spent these past 12 weeks was just a waste. So, you know, I don't believe that God causes tragedy or he causes evil and bad things to happen. Amen. But what my Bible says is that God promises to make good come out of everything that happens. And so we need to actually let him create good out of what's just happened to us and with the whole quarantine that we've experienced. And so I think that one thing we need to actually take away from this time is that we need to realize what we take for granted. And I think if you had told me, you know, in January of 2020, the changes that were about to take place, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, nobody would have believed we'd be where we are now.
Exactly. If you had said, you know, you're not going to be able to go out to eat in restaurants, and you're not going to be able to shop in your favorite store, or if you had said that seniors weren't going to have prom this year or go through a graduation ceremony, if you told me all of the schools in America right. were going to be closed for months.
Or you can wear a mask in a bank and nobody thinks that's strange.
Exactly. So we've gone through so many things. And especially if you had told me, you're not going to have in-person church services for 12 weeks. I remember Clint and I talking at the beginning of this, and we said, well, you know, if it just lasts about, you know, 1 or 2, maybe 3 weeks, that would be okay. And then it kept going and kept going. And so if you had told me all of that, I would have thought, well, that's just a fictional story. You know, that's some Hollywood movie that you're making, because we've just begun to expect to be able to do all of those things.
Right.
We begin to take it for granted that we're entitled to have all of those things. And I think we do that in every area of our life. We take our job, our friendships, our family, and even take our God for granted. And the way to stop this from happening is to make sure that we're actually appreciating what we have. You know, there's a saying, it says, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. And that describes these last few months. It proved true. You know, all of this kind of snuck up on us. And I think if we don't become intentional about appreciating what we have and really work on it, then we're going to take things for granted again. And there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians, and it's 5:16-18. And it says, always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So if we belong to Christ Jesus, we're supposed to be doing these things. And I think if we could do these three things, our lives would be transformed. Always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful in all circumstances.
Amen.
And so I can guarantee that this does not happen just naturally. It's not an easy thing to do, you know, but it's something we have to work at. And now that things are starting to open back up, you know, I really feel grateful and I appreciate restaurants and I appreciate being able to go to a store again that I want to go to. But I can guarantee you in a few months, if I'm not careful, I will slide right back into taking those things for granted. And so I need to make sure I'm working on actually appreciating what I have. Otherwise, these whole past few months will have been for nothing. And what I need to remember to appreciate things is that God promises to give us everything Amen. That we need. And I can be grateful for that.
That's true. You know, like when we started talking about this, we just decided we were each going to come up with a few things. Mine was really more about what I was before all this happened. I used a phrase last week in our message that we need to become God-dependent and not self-sufficient. And I began to realize really quickly as we went through these, like Melanie said, it was 1 week, then it was 2 weeks, then it was 3 weeks, and oh my gosh, it's going to be 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Now we're at 10 weeks. We've got to record more worship. We got to do all this other stuff. But I began to realize I was becoming more God-dependent. But what it told me was, coming up to all this, I was very self-sufficient. Even in, I realized in my messages and in the day-to-day operation of the church and the things I was doing here, I really began to realize I'd been living for some time kind of on autopilot, doing the God game, but being very self-sufficient. You know, and yet I would still complain to God. God, I can't believe this is happening. God, I can't believe we're going through this. But I was doing everything in my own power, in my own self-sufficiency, and I hadn't even really realized I had just kind of went into autopilot, not paying attention to God. But there's a story in the Bible where Jesus is telling his disciples, and Jesus is telling them, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The disciples were wanting to know what about God and how do you connect to God. And look what the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 8. This Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and then he uses this phrase, then we will be satisfied. So he was deciding what was going to be satisfactory for him. Then Jesus in verse 9 says, have I been with you all this time? He asked this rhetorical question. I've been here all this time. He says, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show you the Father? In other words, Philip was deciding for himself what would suffice for him. I can do this if you just do this for me. You see, we need God and we need that relationship. But the other thing I realized that I had been on autopilot with was people. We need God, but we also need God's people. See, God never planned for any of us to do life on our own. Even in our marriage, we have to do things. God built the marriage to do together. And when we start doing them on our own, and separating life, then marriage is not even how God designed it. But even for us here at church, I need you and you need me. God didn't design us to do this alone. He designed us to work on this dream that God has together and to do these things together. You know, during this lockdown, I realized how much this is true for my life. That I need to see your faces. I need to interact with you. That, yeah, it's good we can call on the phone, we can FaceTime, we can text message, but there's just something about talking face-to-face with another brother or sister in God and sharing your life with them. And that seems to be a big deal that we missed. And maybe you were that way before this pandemic, but now you're realizing, many of you have told us, how much you want to get back to church. And a big part of that, as wonderful of a preacher as I can be, and I can hear you laughing in your living rooms, the reason you come is because you crave that connection, not only with God, but with God's people. And that's a huge deal for us. And that really goes to the next thing Melanie's going to talk about moving into, or how we feel about being present with God and present with His people.
Right. So something else we definitely need to take away from this time is, like Clint said, we need to use the power of being present. So what exactly does that mean? You know, in our lives, and I think in society in general, we've gotten used to the idea of multitasking.
Right.
You know, as a mom, I've had to become good at cooking supper while I'm washing dishes, while I'm listening to a podcast and talking to my girls and helping them solve their problems and listening to Clint and what his day was about.
Important stuff.
Right. But it's still multitasking.
And don't forget teaching.
And teaching. Right. But when I do that, I'm not wholly involved in any of those things. You know, I might be able to be capable and get things done, but I'm not present. My body may be present, but my mind is only catching bits and pieces from each of those things. And I think with all of the technology and the busyness that we have, what it has done is just, it's fractured our lives and our attention into so many different little pieces that we're giving a little bit of ourselves to a lot of different things. And we look at our phones more than we're actually taking in our surroundings and the people around us. And so, you know, this shutdown and this quarantine has taken away a lot of our normal obligations. You know, sports disappeared and getting up early for school didn't happen and people's jobs changed. And, you know, I heard a lot of people talking about they've actually had more quality family time at home.
All the distractions are gone.
Right. And they're communicating, you know, more often with their friends and family than they did before this. And people are cooking meals together and, you know, doing board games and all of those things. And I think what this has done, life just slowed its pace a little bit and allowed us to actually become present. And I used to have a teacher, and he would quote a missionary named Jim Elliot all the time. And Jim Elliot would say, "Wherever you are, be all there." And there's power in being fully present in what's going on. And I know in my life before all of this, I wasn't doing that. You know, I was partially there for a lot of different things. And in the Bible, in Ephesians 5, 15 through 16, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And so I think moving forward, we need to be careful and be wise so that we can make the most of every opportunity.
Amen.
And we can't make the most of our opportunities when our attention and our time are so fractured and so divided, and we feel drained and we feel exhausted and we feel, like Clint said, on autopilot, where we're just motoring forward and maybe things are getting done, but we're not giving all of ourselves to that. You know, we've had a lot of things taken away from us during the shutdown without us getting to have a say in it.
Right.
But I think what's important is now that things are starting to open back up, we actually get to have a say. We have a power to decide what we take back into our lives. And it's up to us to pick wisely what we actually allow back into our lives and into our time. And so I just think that we need to not just automatically rearrange our life back to the way it was and try to get back to normal. And don't crowd so much into your life that you can't be present in what's going on. Because your family, your friendships, they deserve all of you. You know, church and your relationship with God, it deserves all of you, not just little bits and pieces of yourself. So I just want to encourage you, you know, before it's too late and we're right back into normal and into that rut that we had dug beforehand, we all need to just take a good, honest look at our life and really decide what we want to allow back in and choose to be present in the things that we actually put back into our day-to-day life.
Right. No, and I think I'll jump on with that and say, I think there's a presence, being present next week. If it's next week is when you get to come back and join us, and whenever that may be, we're going to start next week on the 7th. But there's power of you just showing up. I tell people all the time, sometimes I think the biggest contributing factor to somebody's life that is radically changed here in this room is not the music, it's not the message, it's not the surroundings, but it's the person sitting next to that person who comes in and just shares life and worships with them and shares their struggles and encourages maybe somebody who's going through something that you've been through. That you being present physically here, I truly believe this, is irreplaceable. We can't simulate it. There's no other mechanism that makes that work other than you being here. And then when you add all of us together, it just creates this almost this spiritual synergy that is just God's people doing what God created us to do. First, to worship Him, and second, just to go show people the love that He's given us. And so that's what I want to do. My final point, I guess, is what I'm challenged. It's not just for me and Melanie, but it's for you, Believers Church. Matter of fact, I would say this, I challenge all of our churches. That is, when we come out of this, whenever that may be for maybe your church, if you go to another church, or you're coming for us starting next week, let's step up being the church. Not that we start, because we've always been the church. This building may have been closed, but church was not closed. We're not calling this a reopen. We're just coming back together because the church never closed. What I'm asking you to do is that we need to step up our game. We need to step up what we do. You guys have been so generous during this time. Your tithing and your giving has just blown both of us away. But what we're asking people to do is to take a step forward. You hear us talk about a lot about taking one step. Well, in this particular part of our lives, we're going to ask you to take a step. You hear us talk a lot about freedom, that God gives us freedom. Well, here's the thing, that when freedom comes, responsibility comes. When God gave us Jesus and He brought us freedom, He also gave us the responsibility to talk about Jesus. You see, no other country can brag on the freedoms that we have here. And as we all start to venture out, as we start to move around, I want to challenge us to step up in being the church as we begin to encounter people again face to face and in person. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul's writing, and he says that all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a part of it. This is what I mean when you can't be replaced. You're being present. You're doing what God created you to do. Your God-created purpose cannot be replaced. We can't make, the Bible in other parts uses hands and feet and eyes and ears and toes. We can't make another body part. You are that, and we need you to do what God's asked you to do. My encouragement is this. You hear us talk a lot about inviting people, and every week we tell you to invite people. Keep doing that. But we want to go one step further. If you're not serving on a dream team and you're a member here, you've been here for a while, then you need to get on a dream team. There's lots of them. There's a whole lot you can be doing, and we need you to get on that dream team. Not because we need you, but because there's a person, a boy, a girl, maybe in the kids' church, that needs to hear your voice. Somebody at the door as a greeter or an usher that needs to hear your voice. One day, hopefully, be able soon to be able to give you a hug and welcome you in. Somebody needs to hear your voice on our praise team. Somebody needs to see your abilities in our tech booth, running video and lighting and cameras. There's places for you to get involved. You need to step up and serve. You know, the Great Commission we all hear talking about at the end of Matthew, when Jesus says, hey, now that you've met me, now I'm charging you to go out and make disciples. See, this was not a passive thing. This was a demonstrative thing, showing the impact. He told them, go show them what God's done in your life. And that's what I'm asking you to do as we return to church, as we return to an in-person gathering. During the week, step up your game being the church. Show people love. Continue to call them. Continue to pray for them. Share your story about the last 10 or 12 weeks. I've said this before when we started, all the first couple weeks. I truly believe that the church, capital C and church, Believers Church, is going to come out of this better than ever before. But with the reward and the freedom that God gives us comes high responsibility. And it's time for us to step up. But for some of you, the first step you need to take is just simply meet Jesus. It's not a complicated thing. It's not a real big theology thing. It's just you saying, God, I've screwed up my life. I've made bad decisions. Forgive me. I receive your son, Jesus. Now help me be what you created me to be. A simple prayer like that between you and God changes eternity for you. But it also brings responsibility for us to get busy about the work of the kingdom and what God's asked us to do. Right now, right where you are, I'd just like to pray for you. And if you want to meet Jesus, if you want to pray that, I'm going to pray this with you. So just repeat this after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin. God, I give you my life, and I want you to lead me, and I'm going to follow you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. It's that easy. Salvation is now yours. Now for the rest of you, this week I'm going to pray and bless your week. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to ask God to encourage you. Do everything that you can to be the church, capital C. Share his love. Talk about him. Invite people. Find ways to serve people. And then I'm going to bless your giving, bless your tithe, and then we'll get out of here and we'll be able to see you in person next week. So right where you are, I'm going to ask Melanie, I'm going to grab her hand. If you're there with somebody, grab somebody's hand, and we're going to pray with you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for bringing us this far through this pandemic, that you are our healer, you are our provider. God, I ask you for everybody within the sound of my voice that they hear me today. God, you stir their spirits. Stir in us, Father God, ways to reach out, ways to be your church, ways to serve people. Father God, most of all, way to expand the kingdom so that the hurting, the lost, and those far from God can find Jesus. God, I ask you to, even by your Holy Spirit, challenge us, push us forward, Father. And we thank you for the results and the expansion of the kingdom. Father, we pray for all the other churches in Sylvania and Scriven County, that they too would be used by you, that all the other pastors would continue to preach the gospel, and that the church, capital C, in our community in Scriven County will come out of this better than ever before. That 2020 won't be looked back as a year of craziness and uncertainty, but as in a year that the kingdom of God, that Jesus showed up here in our community. And we thank you for it now, Father. Father, for all those who are giving this weekend and bringing their tithe and their offering, Father, I ask you to bless it. I thank you that it's more than enough to do everything you've asked us to do, that their individual homes, Father God, are blessed because they honor you in obedience and they give generously, Father. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now remember, next week, June the 7th, 10 a.m., we're going to be back here in person. In-person service, kids and nursery are open. Stay home if you need to. We're going to be online. Wear a mask if that makes you more comfortable. We'll be live and online on Facebook and YouTube. We love you, and we can't wait to see you next week. Have a great week.